Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right, guys, I am here today with John Lee of Inugo. Hey, John, welcome to the Home Building Hero podcast.
Thank you, David. I've been waiting to talk to you. So now I get to talk to you in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm super excited to have you on today. We've had one of your employees on several times, Anya, and she's been absolutely terrific. And this is a topic that I'm just excited to learn about. And it's about AI for the home building industry. And I kind of reached out to her and said, okay, who should I talk to about this? Who's a good expert on it? And she said, oh, you got to talk to John. So I'm so glad that you're here with us today and giving us your time to talk about this really cool topic. So again, thank you for joining today. Why don't you first start off by telling us a little bit more about yourself and your background and kind of what you do for Inugo?
Okay, well, I'm the CEO and founder of Inugo. We were actually founded back in 2001. I used to work in Silicon Valley. And I have three kids and a dog, but I'm an empty nester now. So my company is now, I guess, basically my baby. And this baby never seems to grow up because now that I'm in the software industry with prop tech, it seems like it's always changing now. So we started out as a content creation company because new homes, they don't exist. So we had to create visualizations for them. So we started out as a rendering house. But in 2020, we changed our name to Inugo, basically making a new go of it. But, you know, playing on the words, you know, for new homes, don't buy and sell homes the old way, make a new go of it. So with Inugo, we became a software company to really let the buyers be able to find, design, and even buy their new homes online.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you guys do some really cool stuff. And that's a whole emerging area of market and a huge opportunity for builders. Unfortunately, as we know, builders tend to be very slow to adapt technology.
And it's taken me 20 years, and here I am finally get a podcast with you.
There you go.
It really is a tech laggard industry. And that's why sometimes when I talk about AI in this industry, it's like AI, that doesn't affect us. Well, it's coming fast and quick. So I'm glad you're giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to try and jump on stuff as early as I can to get that info out there. And it's helpful to me too, as a builder, because it's like, okay, what can I do with this? So, you know, as much as this helps the audience, it helps me as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's just jump right into the topic. So, you know, obviously there's just a ton of apps out there and there's a ton of different uses for AI. I guess, what are some really easy first things that builders could look at getting into with AI that they could use and put to use right away? And like, what are some of the benefits of those programs?
Well, I think first of all, as a builder, you have to think of yourself as a consumer first. So yeah, I think, you know, the builders need to start using AI, and maybe one of the simplest things, everybody knows how to use a search engine. So go and use a search engine. Almost all of them have AI now, even Bing, which is uses ChatGPT. I say even Bing because 90% of the browsers out there are using Google, right? But U.com, Brave.com, Firefox, Safari, Opera, even they're all using AI in some respect. But Bing has really adopted it with ChatGPT, where everybody's familiar with. So start with that. Google is using Bard right now, but they're going to quickly replace that in the first quarter with Search Generative Experience, SGE, which is going to use their new AI, Gemini. And that is going to be really powerful. One of the things that you can do with AI is start to generate content from it. And you can generate content from, you know, writing poems to creating artwork to creating music and even videos. You know, AI stands for artificial intelligence. But the big difference now is actually it generates content. So it's generative AI. It's not just, you know, giving you answers to things. It's actually creating content. And if you actually are willing to go another step further, get the ChatGPT app. And with that, you can use it as multimodal functionality. Multimodal means that in addition to text, you can also use visuals. And you can also use voice. So when I use my ChatGPT app on my mobile device, I can take photos with it. I can talk to it. like Siri. And one of the practical uses I used at home, I was putting up a bathroom ceiling fan and I didn't know how to connect the wires. I saw this blue wire there. So I'm not used to seeing blue wire. And I took a picture of it and then I just circled it and I asked ChatGPT, what do I connect it with? And so now it's become my little personal, you know, electrician assistant. And even my husband was putting in some plumbing and he just texted me a picture of his plumbing lines and asked me how to connect it, what tools to use. And I just circled it on ChatGPT and gave him the instructions.
Wow. I'm going to stop right there because there's like so much to unpack just on that one answer, right? I mean,
yeah, for home builders particularly, right?
You explained so many different things already that you could do just with basically one app, right? I mean, you were talking about creating content and having it right. And we'll talk about that more in a second. But then you also kind of went in a different angle and said, hey, you know, you're using it for problem solving. And I'm thinking about like a trade in the field and, you know, maybe we got a less experienced person out there.
Right.
And they maybe aren't sure how to do something. And now you've got this app basically. Can you tell me a little bit more how it works? Is it like searching out different things and then pulling it all together and making it concise? Or
can you talk a little bit about GPT, first of all, is pre-generated transformer. Okay. Generated pre-trained transformers are GPT. So with that, the AI has already been pre-trained on some large language model of data. Okay, so it's already scoured the internet for information about plumbing, electricians, and all that. But and with that, it's also been trained on visual content. So what's happened is to put the two together and using that, it can now give you instructions and guidance along the way. And then what you can do now is you can actually train GPT yourself so that you can go into ChatGPT Plus and then load in visuals, pictures, photos, videos, PDFs, and train your own GPT on your specialized skills.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I've heard a little bit about that. So like, for example, to kind of put it in a more practical example, and you can confirm if I'm correct on this, but like, let's say you want to write an article, you can, or let's say a post, let's say on LinkedIn, right? You can actually have it scour some of your recent work. And it kind of learns your language and your method of speaking, your methodology, so to speak. And then you can say, hey, now based on this, I want you to write a story about a totally different topic, right? And it's going to be able to kind of mimic your voice, so to speak. And then it'll pull the other parts and pieces you need into it. Is that kind of an accurate example?
Exactly. You know, we've done this for our podcast. We've downloaded it and transcribed it. And then with that document, we're able to feed it into our AI. And now that AI has learned the content of that, and now it can share that, or people can query that by asking it questions. And you can kind of guide your AI on a particular style, you know, how to respond, can respond in a rap song or shit.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard that. So like you could, I think, didn't I hear somebody say like you could say, hey, I want you to write a short story, but use like Stephen King's writing style or something
exactly.
Like that, right? And it'll kind of do that, 300 right?
300 words or summarize things. There's so many different ways you can have your AI represent your content. But you're able to now teach it, guide it, feed it, and, you know, in a sense, reform it and train it as you interact with it. Say, hey, don't say this, say that.
Sure. Somebody, so you're basically, I mean, it's doing a lot of work for you, but you're still in the driver's seat basically,
right?
With it. You're basically kind of saying, these are the parameters I'm going to give you now. It'll make it work. And then of course, if you don't like it, you can kind of go back and is there a learning curve to this? It sounds like there's some learning curve to someone using this so that you get, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? Is that kind of accurate?
Kind of. It's like training a kid, actually. You know, I've had three of them. And if you're a teacher or you've been a boss, you know, if you had trained employees. So it's a little bit like that, you know, at the first beginning, it's trying to understand you. And sometimes it hallucinates and makes up things that it's ignorant on. And so you have to educate it and reform it and change the styles and behavior. And then eventually it starts to represent you. And then one of the things that's going to happen with ChatGPT is they're opening up a GPT store in the next month, I think. And so on the GPT store, you can go and find the GPT that you want to learn from. So if you want to learn about, you know, how to put up ceiling fans, you can, consult that one. Or if you want to learn how to, make a certain dish from recipe of our chef. Yeah, you can consult that GPT.
That's amazing that there's all these things out there that you can do, and it's just going to grow and grow, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go into the kind of the future of AI with building and things like that, I think there's always hesitancy with something new like this, that, there's obviously a lot of benefits to it, but there could be drawbacks to it. And I know there's a lot of builders that are very fearful of AI right now, in the fact that, it's like, what am I giving up, or what are they learning from me that could be used later? Is that a rational fear? And I mean, what do you think about that?
I think, right now, it's its infancy. So there's all this data that's out there, and that's what it's learned and scoured across the internet. But we're also able to now create proprietary data sets. So in that data set system, you can just keep the stuff that you don't want, the public to access, like your pricing, maybe your HR information, all that stuff. So there could be a wall that's a barrier. But at the same time, you want to be able to share it within your ecosystem so that people can learn from it and improve on things and predict things and optimize your operations. So it's a little bit of balance. You want to protect your data, but you also want to open up your data, because if you just hoard all that information, then you can't improve your operations.
Sure. No, I think that makes sense. And I think the other fear thing that maybe comes out is, obviously we're in a politicized world as well.
Oh,
and
yes.
So, I think there's already been some scuttlebutt out in the news about how, they're trying to maybe use it to push a certain agenda. So maybe in news situations, it's like, well, let's put this spin on it versus that spin on it. So is there a way to kind of protect against that too, so that, or is that just,
I think, in a larger world there, with all the political ramifications, yes, I think it could be dangerous. I think, just like with social media and even like weapons, you can keep going down the list of dangerous tools and weapons. But for the home builder world, I think the least of my fears is getting into adopt AI. I think they can use it just to improve their operations, help their sales and marketing. I don't think they're going to get to a point here where they're going to be changing people's votes and,
sure.
and
thinking. Yeah, I mean, it's the building industry isn't necessarily overtly political. It's just, you kind of worry about, insulated. Is there agenda baked in, I guess, is what maybe some people are fearful of, is that they're,
I think most of the data that the home builders have is probably data related to their products and their clients. I don't think they will probably have too much data that probably will shake up the world.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So
yeah, that makes sense. So it's kind of an irrational fear, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's an overarching political and moral fear, but within the home building industry,
it's kind of safe. It sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of safe.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. So, thinking about, how quickly AI is advancing, and maybe 5 years out is too far to think about it, but if you could see the future a little bit, of dream big a little bit, in 5 years from now, what's AI going to be like in the home building industry?
Well, this is ironic, because this is probably scary even more, because I think AI will start to have godlike qualities, omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Those things could be used for good or evil, in a sense. But the omnipresence piece, I really think it's going to be pervasive. It's going to be ubiquitous and commonplace, because all the big tech companies, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, they've invested billions of dollars into AI. And you're seeing it across search engines and social media. Facebook has AI and e-commerce. Amazon is doing AI as well. And you're seeing it in your Word documents and your spreadsheets and your graphic software, everything you use to create things. So AI is part of all your creation. And now they're creating very powerful AI chips. So these chips will allow you to have localized generative AI. That means on your smartphone, in your lawnmowers, in your appliances, in your toys, in your cars, these tools and devices don't need to be connected to the internet to generate that AI content. It can be done on the chip in that device, and that really will make it ubiquitous.
That's fascinating that it could be done locally, but I guess it makes sense. And I mean, obviously there's a lot of benefits to that because, you know, just even, I guess, stepping back from this for a second, it's not like AI just came out in the last year or two. This has actually been around for a while. It's right. Just, it's kind of become more of a buzzworthy topic, but there's already been a lot of AI out there. Like you talk about like a Nest thermostat or something, and it kind of learns when you come home and when you leave and, you know, your general patterns, right? That's AI basically, isn't it? At the end of the day.
Yes. A lot of those were algorithmic, but what's happening now is it's become very intelligent and it's been very personalized. So it's having a personal open-ended conversation with you and learning about you. So, and it has good recall. So I think ChatGPT can remember like 300 pages worth of conversations with us. So we can start where we left off. You know, like if you stop this podcast and we start tomorrow, it'll start right back up with what the conversation was about. And I think that's good to understand, you know, the consumer shopping behavior, because that may happen over a period of time, particularly with home building.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. So I guess, you know, talking to our builder friends out there and our people in the industry, what advice would you give builders about AI right now?
Well, I really say that you should embrace it, because I think, you know, going back to your 5 years from now, I think, first of all, the world will be a lot smaller because the way people communicate visually across different languages and text and everything, AI will immediately translate that. And you'll be able to have those conversations from people around the world and with AI. But I think, you know, 5 years from now, everyone will have an AI personal assistant or agent. And that's going to be connected to many other AIs out there that specialize in different areas, in different domains. And, you know, it's already kind of happening with Netflix and Amazon. I mean, Netflix is having a interaction with you, and it knows what you like and will show you more things like that. Same with Amazon. And what it's going to do, those personal assistants are going to bring what you want to you, that content that you want, say, or that service, just like Uber and DoorDash. I mean, that's the shopping behavior that people are growing up on. And particularly the early adopters of AI are, like other technologies, the young people, and particularly the students. They're using it in school. And when those college grads graduate, not only have they used it, but they probably created some AI functionality, and they're going to expect to consume it that way. So I think, you know, builders now need to start to learn it, embrace it. I think the other element that is going to happen too with future shoppers is everyone not only will have an AI personal assistant, but AI will have a digital twin. You will have your own avatar or persona. I'm probably getting into a lot of jargon here, but you're going to have a representation of yourself in the virtual world. And your digital twin is probably your bridge between the real world and the virtual world. And you may actually have multiple personas, because you have multiple personalities and multiple interests and tasks that you need to get done. And they're going to be working in different. Yeah, they're going to be working in metaverse. Fortunately, it's only still one of you, so you can work 24/7 across your digital twins, but it's not going to, you could still be sleeping. But that's also going to cause builders to also need to create AI agents, sales agents, to work on behalf of them, because as the consumer's agents are shopping them 24/7, the way the builders are going to connect to the buyers while they're sleeping is actually connecting to their AI agent. And the beautiful thing is the builder can use one AI and service thousands of consumers simultaneously in a personalized way online.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing as you start to put the pieces together. You know, you talked about the language thing, and, you know, imagine, you know, being able to talk to anybody in any country and having it, you know, translate it for you. I mean, there's huge power in that. There's huge power in duplicating yourself. So at 3 a.m. when you're sleeping, someone else can be communicating with your AI. I think that that's obviously a huge benefit. But then at the same time, the little skeptic side of me is saying, you know, you see like the deep fake stuff and saying, okay, well,
right.
I already heard a story about someone that used AI to duplicate the voice of a congressman. He called into his office and he got his staff to, or they got the staff to give away a private password to one of his bank accounts. And because it sounded just like him. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, with every plus to it, there can be a drawback to it too. So obviously, is there a lot of security being developed on this so that, you know, there's either disclosures or things to make sure that things like that don't happen?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of legal issues. There's going to be some cybersecurity things that they need to implement. You know, it's going to be different from country to country, industry to industry. It's going to be hard to have this global mandate. I think we have to have systems in place as companies for those checks and balances and protect your data and your brand.
I think that makes
sense. I can't really answer all those questions honestly right now, because I don't have all that knowledge.
No, it's a bigger picture thing that I think.
Right, it's a bigger picture.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm just going to try to tell you what I think is going to happen. I think the big tech companies that really own all these apps are going to get more powerful. I think they're going to create AI super apps in the future. That sounds really scary. But like, you know, we all have apps for day-to-day functions, whereas the Uber app or Netflix or whatever. I think these big tech companies, which already house all these other apps on their cloud servers, and they already have all that data and they do all the processing for it. What they can add to all that is intelligence. And then when I set up a ChatGPT account as a user and I have a personal AI assistant, I'm assuming that AI is going to talk to all these other apps and functions and services and handle it for me. So instead of me going on DoorDash and setting up an account and you know, ordering something and clicking through, I just say, hey, I want this, this, and this, and I need it in 15 minutes delivered to my house for dinner. And it just takes care of it. So the AI is not only representing me, it's actually handling the transactions on behalf of me.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of power in that and a lot of convenience, obviously, as well. And
right.
I do appreciate, and I agree with your comment that I think this is going to help the bigger companies get bigger, right?
Yes.
It's going to be, you know, it's a large scale kind of thing. And, you know, I think even like volume companies are going to benefit a lot more from this potentially than smaller companies. But I think everybody can win from this at the end of the day.
Yeah, because they know they have all the data and they can learn from that data. But there's open source AIs that's being developed out there where smaller companies can, you know, program things their own way and, you know, keep it within their proprietary data sets. And then what they'll have is like a wall that separates the general AI out there so that, you know, you can kind of come into my store, but you can't take all my data and I still have my privacy. So, the companies that can build those barriers and still have the APIs, which are application program interfaces to communicate each other, I think will be the winners in the AI.
Yeah, that makes sense. You got to kind of, yeah, keep the boundaries in it. Otherwise, yeah, there's just a lot of risks there. So
I'm going to scare you a little bit more here since you're talking about that, because I think in 5 years, we're going to evolve from AI, artificial intelligence, to what they call AGI, which is artificial generative and general intelligence. And with general intelligence, it's going to add a level of intelligence where the AI is starting to learn as opposed to being trained. It's going to learn on its own. It's going to start to reason and plan and solve problems, think abstractly, and you know, really start to understand those complex ideas that only humans can really do right now, and maybe even become self-aware. So that's when
basically Terminator will come true.
Yes.
Lovely. No. Well, we're going to shift back a little bit more to the building aspect of it. So we talked a little bit about like ChatGPT as an app. Mm-hmm. Is there some other apps out there that are, you know, they all kind of have their own purposes? Is there some other AI apps out there that are kind of noteworthy?
Yes. Like I said, all about the big tech companies, they're all having their own AIs. So there's ChatGPT, there's Claude, there's Poe, there's Llama. I mean, you keep going on the road, down the road. Apple's even introducing one called Ferret, which is using their chip on their iPhones. Which
I think X has one coming out, or it might already be out now too.
Which one?
X. So like Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah, X, yeah, with Grok, yeah, yep. AI. So every big tech company will have one because data is so important. I use different ones for different purposes. Primarily, I use ChatGPT because I'm subscribed to it, and I also create content for my own GPT for the building industry, which is to help home buyers learn all about new construction and why they should buy new and how they should buy new. Because we're in the visualization space, I use a lot of visualization tech AIs, which is like DALL-E, which is part of OpenAI AI, which owns ChatGPT. So it's kind of a package of
same family. Yeah.
Yeah. Same family. So I use DALL-E 3, I use Midjourney, sometimes Stable Diffusion. If you use graphic software like Canva and Adobe, they have AI now integrated in that. And I recently used Runway, which takes like an image and generates a video from it, like in 4 second clips, and you can keep extending it by another 4 seconds, or you can even like text a description and it'll create a video. In our computer modeling program SketchUp, it's now integrated AI as well. So it really helps in the modeling process for new homes.
So obviously a great opportunity to just kind of speed up things you're already doing. Mm-hmm. I guess one area we didn't talk about with this is how it affects labor. And there's probably two angles to go with this. So maybe we'll jump into this for a sec. But, you know, obviously you could potentially have labor savings on your team because this is able to do some of the stuff that you would normally hire someone for. So there's that sort of impact. But then I think there's also the impact of how does this affect the home building where we have labor shortage? And do you see maybe a partnership between AI and, you know, some robotics so that you can start getting mundane tasks done on a job site by, you know, a robot? Like I'm picturing a machine that will go up and down the roof and roof your roof for you. And maybe you just have one human loading machine. And other than that, it's doing its own thing.
Yeah, I think that's where AI and robotics is going to converge in a great place in manufacturing. But first of all, like I think AI can help eliminate a lot of their repetitive, low skill, undesirable tasks. I mean, people don't really want to do robotic tasks. So that's probably on the sales and marketing side that we see a lot of that stuff. But also can help sales and marketing augmenting creative, analytical, and complex tasks, you know, to generate all that content that we're talking about and you know, provide great service to consumers 24/7. But in the manufacturing side, this gets a little bit crazy here, but we're almost like cyborgs. And in this definition of a cyborg is that we have an extension of our human bodies electronically and mechanically to help us accomplish a task. So you're starting to see that in manufacturing, like exoskeletons to help you lift things and you know, carry bigger things that you couldn't do. Also, some places are using AR and VR glasses so that they can, you know, look at materials and, you know, inspect things and also get information about
see them in 3D, see all angles.
Exactly. Yep. See through the wall. So those are some robotic extensions of our body. But I think what's coming out is like humanoid robots like Tesla is creating, which allows beyond like these automotive robots, which is giant arms and things like that, to actually have the human dexterity, but with superhuman strength and endurance and productivity. So that combination along with intelligence, so that you're not just throwing pallets of stuff, you're actually stacking up in a correct way and building the house correctly. Yeah. Well,
I've already seen videos of people, you know, there's a guy boxing like a robot and it's, you know, counter punching and ducking. And it's like, holy cow, this is like.
Yeah, it needs to learn. It needs to have intelligence. It needs to know the blueprints and understand them. And it needs to coordinate. And I think what you're going to actually see if that works with the first robots, you're going to start to see an army of robots. What will happen is, this sounds crazy, but the robots will actually be running other robots. So you may have a humanoid robot that actually works these smaller robotic devices to get things done. But what happens is they will communicate to each other through a wireless neural network. So it's like drones now. They coordinate with each other. So what could happen is the robot can command driverless vehicles or drones to help with inspection, to help with carrying things,
Yep. So there'll be specialized robots and, you know, right. you know, directing the other robotic.
Yeah. And they're actually doing a lot in agriculture that way now, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. But mm-hmm. it's scary to think about because you see all these movies and it's like, man, a lot of that's just coming true.
Yeah, right but if you're, if right now there's like a 4 to 5 million unit housing shortage.
Yep.
And like you're saying with the shortage of labor, both manpower and mind power and skill sets, I think, you know, using artificial intelligence combined with robotics, but with somebody that actually can orchestrate all this, I think could be very powerful. Yeah. For society.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if it's put to the right use, it can have a lot of benefits. You know, I mean, I can picture building a home and the couple most difficult jobs to get people, you know, like painting. It's not super interesting, right? It's just kind of repetitive work. Okay, that would be something great for automation. Or like I said, roofing, where it's, it can be 100 degrees out, and the machine's still working, and you know, a human's not going to want to work during that time. So there's a lot of opportunity for you to, you know,
right, and it could possibly lower filled. The price and productivity, so that could actually translate to you know, more houses for more people.
Yeah, and hopefully cost savings at some point too, right. Which would be mm-hmm. great. So, kind of shifting gears a little bit to Inugo, what are some things that you guys are working on that you guys are excited about? Where are you guys going in the next couple of years here?
Things are always changing over here, and you know, we're primarily focused on the sales and marketing of new homes, which is done more and more online. And so we're really focusing on improving that customer experience. New homes is probably like the only product that you can't buy online. And you can understand why. It's very complex. It doesn't exist. You probably have to have a co-buyer with it. You probably have to sell something to buy something. You got to get mortgages. You got to buy land. There's so many things that
go. It's a complex transaction.
Yes. And that's why, you know, most people want to buy new homes, but most people don't. So because there's so much risk and frustration with that. And we think that AI can really help that customer experience and sales journey. And so one of the things that we're doing with AI is we're using AI to help us in productivity, and it can generate images and videos. You know, we've already done some things before AI came along, then that we use a cloud rendering engine to allow the consumer to interactively design that house with all the different colors and floor plan options and choose the home site. And it's doing that all online. So you're not just looking at a generic house and a static image. You're actually becoming engaged in designing that custom home and then be able to maybe even buy it online. But with AI now, say that you drive by a house that you really like, you can just take a picture of it and then upload it to AI and say, find me a new construction plan that matches that. And so now you can have AI image searches. AI is also powerful in matching. So if we're utilizing to do match and notify, so basically like a match.com for houses instead of spouses, describe to me your dream home. And then what happens is, you know, not beyond your 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, you know, traditional MLS parameters, but you can talk about, hey, I have three kids and a dog, and I have this certain kind of lifestyle. I work from home. I love the outdoors. And now I can pull from the tens of thousands of plans and communities and options and visually show it to you.
Yeah, say this is the best fit, because I think that can be annoying for people, is like to spend too much time trying to find the right thing, right? And if you can have someone else kind of going out there and search for it, and you know,
this is what's going to really change the traditional way of doing marketing. Marketing is really about connecting buyers and sellers, and what happens is with marketing, it's really trying to attract an audience to come there. And then direct them when, where, and how to shop. With AI, the AI may become the surrogate shopper for the buyer. So you're not going to need to direct them how to shop. It's just going to shop and bring it back to the consumer. So what's happening is you're taking actually the human out of the equation, at least early on in the shopping experience. They may come back in after their AI has talked to your AI, your sales AI, and figured out the right products that the buyer is interested in.
It's kind of fascinating. And yeah, you know, you don't even think of it that way, but yeah, you could see it on both sides of the transaction, and not only from a builder to the customer, but I could see it in the real estate industry as well, like selling realtor versus the buying realtor, and having each of mm-hmm. their AIs kind of working things out. It's just amazing how much this could take off. And I mean, I sort of see this as the same kind of point as when the internet first came out. It's like, you know, I don't think we had any idea the whole potential for that. And, you know, you look back now and go, geez, you know, look at all these huge companies that spawned out of the internet boom. And, you know, I think we're going to have an AI boom. That's,
well, this is kind of sad to say, but I was there when the internet took off in 1999. I worked in Silicon Valley. And when the internet came out, I was like, wow, man, this is amazing. And when I started our company, Rendering House, in 2001, we were still doing print. And then websites started taking off. So what we had to do is, now, because we create content, we're always at the tip of the spear. Everything starts with content. So every time there's a change in the medium, we had to do that. So when websites come out, we had to make sure our content was SEO friendly, so you can find it and all that. And then when apps and mobile came out, well, we had to make sure everything was mobile friendly. Otherwise, you would never, the buyer would never find it, and their seller would never sell their products. Well, I think we're hitting the next paradigm. Not only does it need to be SEO friendly, mobile friendly, but now it needs to be AI friendly. If your content isn't AI enabled or even machine readable, you will not be seen, and you will therefore not be literally part of the AI conversation. And that's going to be shocking for a lot of builders. I think right now, a lot of the builders have built their websites and all their content and their whole process along the idea of, I'm going to attract a buyer through a Google search, and they're going to see 20 or 200 websites, and they're going to manually go into each one and look for them and read every floor plan and try to find the thing they want. The idea that a buyer may just go to their ChatGPT, their AI, and says, hey, I'm looking for this dream home in Wisconsin, and I need this, and it goes and pulls the relevant content from tens of thousands of websites and visually shows it for them to now go to the next step in the conversation, and they hadn't even talked to a person yet. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling, because the AI is going, like I said, do the shopping, do the screening, do the evaluation, and then at the point that it finds the right content is when it will bring it back to the human.
Yeah, it's amazing potential for sure. So what do you think predictions for the next year? Obviously, 2024 is here. What do you think it's going to be for the home building industry, and any other predictions that you might have?
Well, I think in general, I think a lot of dumb things will become smart. What I mean is, there's a lot of devices out there, a lot of content out there that is just an image file and it can't do anything. I think because of AI, to be relevant in the conversation, to even show up, it needs to be smart. It needs to be something that has an identity and can be used to train the AI, but also use the AI can also use it to generate content from it. It needs to be in a granular form, almost like the alphabet, where it can now reassemble it in a language that's meaningful to its master. And so what we'll start to see is we'll start to have conversation with bots, from everything from your fast food drive-throughs to airport kiosks to AI social influencers. Like you're saying, the deep fakes. The social influencer may not be a real person in the future. It's going to be somebody that is available 24/7, but doesn't just stand in front of the product and say how wonderful it is. It's going to be able to respond to you with answers and questions and have a conversation, which is going to be much more meaningful.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff here. My mind's already just like blown, but is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to share about the topic? Anything that we didn't cover that?
I think in general, I mean, there's so much you're going to cover, but I think in general, I always say, if you don't run towards technology, technology will run over you. And with AI, the speed and scale of it, I really think it's rolling out like a tsunami of change. And if you're not running to get ahead of it, at least start walking, because there's probably as much risk of being left behind now as being an early adopter. One of the things in this industry I know is, because they're a tech lagger, they always say, well, we'll do it when my competitor does it. And, you know, we have time. I think the world is changing fast. And I don't think with the systems that we have in place, we can't change fast enough. So it's better to get out there ahead of the game. And particularly for us, as a content creator, like I said, we're kind of the tip of the spear. I have to be at the forefront of these major changes, because it always impacts us first. And it's a responsibility that I have for my company and for our clients that they've entrusted us not to be the next Blockbuster or the next taxi company, you know, to market their products and services. Because if we become obsolete, they become obsolete. And on a bright note, I really think of AI as a chance to reset yourself in a competitive race as an employee or as a company. Because if you've been at the bottom or back of the pack, you know, I think it's an opportunity to really leap ahead and get ahead of the game, because the game has changed so suddenly and so dramatically. And for the little guys who are nimble and agile, you have a great opportunity with AI to be an equalizer to the giants who are slow, they're conservative, they're going to have to dismantle their legacy processes and systems. So I think AI is a great David versus Goliath story,
potentially, if you use it right.
Exactly.
It really is stone in the sling, right?
Yes. And it's just a small little rock, but you know, with the right hit, the big guys go down. And I'm not here just to take down the big guys, but I'm just saying that if you're small and nimble and willing to take some risk, I think AI will give you the resources that you never could have had, because to pay $15, $20 a month for ChatGPT instead of hiring, you know, $50,000, $100,000 employees and training them and equipping them and all that stuff, you got a lot of power in your fingertips.
Yeah. It's like instant scalability, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah,
you can service thousands with one.
Well, this was absolutely awesome, John. So I want to first say thank you for coming on today and sharing so much wisdom about AI. And we'll definitely have to have you back on again in the future as this evolves a little bit and kind of see what the next level of this is. So once again, a huge thank you to John Lee from Inugo for joining the Home Building Hero today. We appreciate having you on.
Yeah, glad to be here. And if you want to see some of this visual stuff in action, just follow me on LinkedIn. I post.
Okay, yeah. So if people want to find you, where would they go?
You can find me on LinkedIn and my company Inugo there. We're always posting some of our latest activities and things that's happening in the industry. Because if you really want to learn about AI, you really should start to follow social media posts about it and news feeds about AI, because it's changing very quickly. If you watch this thing in 6 months, disregard everything I said.
Yeah, it'll be different, right? That's why I said we got to have you back on. But we'll put your link to Inugo on LinkedIn into the show notes as well, so those of you listening can find that. And again, thank you so much, John, for joining us today.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.